Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 28, Text 17. Aham, mameti, svikritya, griheshu, kumatir, grihi, dadyo, pramadaya, dino, vipara yoga, upasthite, aham mameti svikritya. Aham mameti svikritya, griheshu kumatir grihi, griheshu kumatir grihi, dadyo pramadaya dino, dadyo pramadaya dino, viparyoga upasthite, Vipra yoga upasthite. Aham mameti svikritya. Griheshu kumatir grihi. Dadyo pramadaya dino. Vipra yoga upasthite. Please. Svikritya, accepting, griheshu, in the home, kumati, whose mind is full of obnoxious thoughts, grihi, the householder, dadyo, turn his attention to, pramadaya, with his wife, dinaha, very poor, viprayoga, when separation, upasthite, occurred. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. King Puranjana was overly attached to his family and conceptions of I and mine. Because he was overly attracted to his wife, he was already quite poverty-stricken. At the time of separation, he became very sorry, responsibly. King Puranjana was overly attached to his family and conceptions of I and my mind. Because he was overly attracted to his wife, he was already quite poverty-stricken. At the time of separation, he became very sorry. Purport. It is clear in this verse that at the time of death, thoughts of material enjoyment do not go away. This indicates that the living entity, the soul, is carried by the subtle body, mind, intelligence, and ego. Due to false ego, the living entity still wants to enjoy the material world, and for want of material enjoyment, he becomes sorry or sad. He still makes intellectual plans to further his existence, and therefore, although he gives up the gross body, he is carried by the subtle body to another gross body. The transmigration of the subtle body is never visible to material eyes. Therefore, when one gives up the gross body, we think that he is finished. Plans for material enjoyment are made by the subtle body, and the gross body is the instrument for enjoying these plans. Thus, the gross body can be compared to the wife, for the wife is the agent for all kinds of sense gratification. Because of long association with the gross body, the living entity becomes very sad to be separated from it. The mental activity of the living entity obliges him to accept another gross body and continue his material existence. The Sanskrit word stri means expansion. Through the wife, one expands his various objects of attraction, sons, daughters, grandsons, and so on. Attachment to family members becomes very prominent at the time of death. One often sees that just before leaving his body, a man may call for his beloved son to give him charge of his wife and other paraphernalia. He may say, "My dear boy, I am being forced to leave. Please take charge of the family affairs." He speaks in this way, not even knowing his destination. Om Magyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Pandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakkan Vitam Shta Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindubhyaeva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. Since I'm first time speaking here, I think it's per proper etiquette if I briefly introduce myself. So I come from Poland, from Warsaw, where I've been serving in ISKCON, engaged in preaching, management, and administrative responsibilities. I'm very happy to be able to come to Mayapur, where I'm studying, following the course offered by the adult section of Bhaktivedanta Vidyapita Academy. So, being requested to speak, I could always with admiration hear the lectures given here, so feeling myself very much junior in front of so many advanced Vaishnavas, I hope that they will kindly look on this humble effort of presentation like parents are looking happily on the attempts where child is trying to speak. So with their kind glance, I hope to present something satisfying to heart and soul, as Srimad Bhagavatam says. So we are reading the story of King Puranjana. Now it is the time when he is leaving his body. He has to leave his city, allegorative body, in this allegorative story. And he is very much distressed. He is experiencing great suffering. Later, as the story told by Narada Muni unfolds, in his next life, as we will read in this chapter, he becomes a woman. And similarly, in the next life, being a woman, in the next chapter, we'll read how he also experiences great sorrow and despair when his or her husband leaves the body, and King Puranjana, being a woman, then she is completely alone, thinking about to commit suicide following the path of his husband. So then, at this story, the unknown friend from the past comes, and this is of course the super soul appearing to King Puranjana as a woman, offering him transcendental wisdom. And then Narada Muni starts to directly preach to Maharaj Prachina Barhishad. So this is the story. Then Maharaj Prachina Barhishad says that it's a wonderful story. I'm sure that advanced devotees can understand it, but I am not so, and I cannot understand what you have told me. Please kindly explain. Then Narada Muni starts to elaborate on all the allegories he presented to him, and then preaches him really directly about devotional service. And by this, King Puranjana understands his situation, the allegory, how it applies to him, and gives up immediately his kingdom, gives it to his responsible sons, and goes to the Kapila Ashrama to meditate, and attains perfection, attains qualitative equality with the Lord and his association. So in this story, I found particularly interesting the topic which we are now following. It means the material entanglement, all those elaborate descriptions of how the living entity entangles itself in the material world. So we'll elaborate a little bit on this based on the purport. Then we can think how it applies to us, why this knowledge is important, and what are the problems in our own personal application of this knowledge in our life. And during the presentation, I will read some quotes from Srila Prabhupada's books, because I found a few purports specially on the topic. So first, on speaking on this part, we can find material entanglement in many places of the Shastras, in Bhagavad Gita, Vyayate Avishayan Pumsam, Sangastesh Upajayate, Sangat Sandhyate Kama, Kama Krodho Vijayate, how contemplation of the sense objects separated from Krishna generates attachment, and this attachment is then transformed into lust, and unsatisfied lust transforms into greed. So these two, lust and greed, can be said that they are the basic misconceptions of the embodied living soul, this I and mine, aham mameti. Aham means, mama means the greed, this must be mine. I want it to control, mama, the desire to control, and then aham, I can enjoy it, I can be happy, I can be this, and so Srila Prabhupada said that this is this thinking, I am this, I am that, this is mine, this is the material consciousness. If we understand that, this understanding, it's also in Srimad Bhagavatam, Pumsach Striam Tuni Bhavam Etam Tayor Mitho Hridaya Granti Mahu Ato Griha Kshetra Sutapta Vitair Janatsya Moho Yam Aham Mameti, that the embodied living soul, he's thinking that that by the attraction to the opposite sex, to the opposite, to man to woman, he's attracted, he wants to, he comes in contact, starts to enjoy sex life, and by this his attachment grows. Therefore this wife, Srila Prabhupada says, is called Stri, it expands, Griha, the place, Griha wife, Kshetra place, Suta, sons, Apta, Vittair, relatives, wealth. Janasya moho yam aham mameti, that in this way he thinks I am aham and mama iti. In this way the embodied living soul thinks. So this is the material consciousness. And it is important to understand it, how we are getting into material entanglement, because the same way we've gotten into it, the same we go out. The Shastras also elaborately describe the process of creation. It's the same process, how we've gotten into the material world. If we understand this process, then we can retract ourselves from the material world, become situated on the spiritual position, and from that point our devotional life can begin. So this is very conducive, this is very important, and understanding this philosophy is not optional, it's obligatory. Not just understanding by knowledge, by application, by realization. In the last part of the chapter on King Puranjana, Srila Prabhupada describes that it's said there that this is the knowledge of understanding of the position of living entity and the Supreme Lord. It's also elaborately described in the last chapters of Bhagavad Gita, from 13th to 17th. All those chapters are describing this kshetra, kshetragya, or the position of Jiva, Ishvara, the Supreme Lord, and Prakriti, the position of material energy, how we are dependent on the Lord. So we should, Srila Prabhupada said that in 7th canto, on where the teachings of Narada Muni, where he instructs those who are retiring on those words, who are retiring from household life, he describes elaborately how the bodily constituents are coming from different ingredients of creation. Srila Prabhupada writes in Purport that in order to become self-realized, we must understand how those bodily constituents are originating from their source. It's also the purport of our chanting of Gayatri Mantra, Brahma Gayatri, that we are understanding how all of the creation is coming from the Lord, how it is energy of the Lord, how we are situated as the observers or assistants in this energy. So therefore this process of creation and entanglement is very crucial for us to really realize it. We should become situated in this knowledge while performing devotional service. And in this regard, there is a very nice purport in Bhagavad Gita, in 15th chapter, the last verse, that when the living entity is engaged in pure devotional service in association of devotees, he must be careful to avoid two downfalls. The first fall down is caused by the desire to lord it over material nature. It means greed, mama. Thus, one gives up the transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord. The second weakness of the heart is that as one increases the propensity to lord it over material nature, he becomes attached to the matter and the possession of matter. The problems of material existence are due to these two weaknesses of the heart. So it is the solution of all our problems, if we understand this knowledge. And we should be careful, because it's not a one-time thing. It's like Mataji Prabhupada Priya told in wonderful class that it's like it requires our constant endeavor. We should be checking ourselves. It's like a dust accumulating constantly on the surface of our consciousness. We should be careful to clean our consciousness by proper practice and association So Srila Prabhupada said that this is the material consciousness, this entanglement, but the spiritual consciousness is very simple. If we just understand that everything is energy of Krishna, and that everything is property of Krishna. Isha vasyam idam sarvam tenat yatkincha jagatyam jagat. That yatkincha jagatyam jagat. Whatever is there in the universe, life, movable, jagatyam jagat, movable or unmovable, everything what is there is isha vasyam idam sarvam. It's owned by the Lord. Avasyam means like controlled. If we understand that the Lord is the controller, then it's not ours. If it is not ours, then we cannot enjoy it. First comes the controlling, then is the enjoyment. We cannot try to enjoy something what we do not control. So therefore we have to be careful in our own lives, guard ourselves against these impurities of the heart, against these fall downs. And of course it is more difficult for householders who are, as it is said, street, this expansion, wife, that family life tends to be more in contact with material energy, so therefore it requires more knowledge and more vigilance. But also streaming the body through our body, just being in material world, we are always prone to this contamination. Even a renounced person can start to think that, for example, this is my temple, or and this is the service, it's my service, I'm doing it for Krishna, but I want it to be like I want. My way or highway. So this is also this imposition of material consciousness on our life, whomever we might be. So, if we begin. Yeah, so that, like, of course those attachments are leading to problems. Where due to our attachments we are experiencing suffering. If we bring our consciousness to the spiritual consciousness, then we are happy immediately. Like in Prachina Barhishad, after hearing those instructions, he immediately became satisfied and went to proceed his spiritual practice. So, of course, there are the material attachments, but whatever attachments we might have, the real problem in them is that we are losing our Krishna consciousness, that we are not recognizing how Krishna is everything. This is the point of Krishna consciousness, to understand that Krishna is everything and use everything in his service. So when we lose it, then this biggest suffering, it is said, in material world, is experiencing lack of Krishna consciousness. So therefore the Lord is very kindly offering us this very precious gift of this wonderful knowledge. We are getting it by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. So we should apply ourselves to this knowledge, become like situated in this knowledge. Brahma, Bhuta, Prasannatma. This is the, like, I'm coming to this position. Because goal of our Krishna consciousness is to become friends with Krishna. Srila Prabhupada writes in Nectar of Instruction that we want to dance with Krishna, we want to have picnic with Krishna. So this is our goal. In order to be friends with Krishna, we need to have something in common. We have to be on the same social level. And Krishna is on the level of Brahman. He is on the level of Brahma Bhuta. So we need to also come to this level to have really friends with him. So, yeah, this knowledge is like meant to extract ourselves from the material whirlpool to come to the level where we can really engage ourselves in Krishna consciousness. Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma. From that we start our pure devotional service. So, of course, as we can see, often we have problems applying ourselves to this knowledge, and it is not uncommon that, like, even we can find in Srimad Bhagavatam in 10th canto example of gopis, how Krishna had to correct their not fully devotional mentality by disappearing from their presence, causing them suffering, to help them get more advanced. So the best, of course, if we simply learn by hearing and come to this platform, and then all the material suffering is not a problem for us, we are just engaging in devotional service. But very often we are failing to do it because of our deeply rooted material attachments. And the mind which has a cheating propensity. So because of this, sometimes the Lord has to help us, either from inside, enlightening us with transcendental knowledge, or from outside, by association of devotees who enlighten us with transcendental knowledge, or appearing to us as sufferings, like in this case. In this case, King Prachinabharkishat is suffering because of his attachments. He is already quite poverty-stricken, as it is said here. And King Puranjana, he has to leave his body. He is very disturbed. He is very sorry, sorrowful. And also, later, in the next chapter, when King Prachinabharkishat, as the wife of King Malayadvaja, King Malayadvaja passed away, he is experiencing great sorrow. So as this sorrow is unbearable, very much, then Lord comes to him and speaks to him transcendental knowledge. So by the suffering, sometimes, as it is, we can see here, the Lord helps us to realize this knowledge. To bring us to the point of really desiring, applying ourselves to this knowledge and just desiring for his service. And regarding our desires, it's not teachings of bhakti are not fanatical. It doesn't mean simply like in form of renunciation. Everybody can be fully engaged in Krishna consciousness, like we know that even Grihastha can transform his home in the temple. We can dovetail all our necessary propensities in the service of the Lord by linking them with Krishna. So, yeah, and even if we find ourselves, that if we find that we have some deeply rooted attachments that are for sense objects that are hard to engage, then Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes very nicely in Bhakti Aloka on the essay of Laulyam, it means unsteadiness or greed, how he writes that if in our practice of Krishna consciousness the main obstacle is unsteadiness of mind caused by our desires, then we should engage ourselves in those desires in connection to Krishna. If we contemplate objects seen in relationship to Krishna, then this is not the mechanism of dhyayato vishayan pum, something like this, entanglement. Then it is purifying. We are seeing everything in relationship to Krishna and engaging in it, in the contact of senses and sense objects, we are purifying ourselves. So teachings of Bhakti Devi are very liberal. But still we can find problems that, like, because of our attachments, we may compare it like that we are putting our wet hand, to electrical socket, and the electricity of threefold miseries is hitting us, and we are trying to figure out what is wrong, why I'm suffering. And we don't realize that it is our attachment, that we are holding up to something, and because of this we are experiencing this suffering. So, therefore, like, it is mercy of the Lord, but we need to realize it. There is a wonderful verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, Taptenu Kampam Susamikshamana Bunjana Evatma Kritam Vipakam Hridvagvapur Birvidadhan Namaste Jiveta Yo Mukti Padesa Dayabak, that he who sees all the Taptenu Kampam, he who waits the mercy of the Lord, tolerating all the miseries they are befalling upon him, but he is sure that it is Atma Kritam, that it is because of he. I have done something wrong. I have some wrong attitude, like in story of Narada and Vyasadeva, in first canto. Vyasadeva has written all the Vedic literatures and he was experiencing dissatisfaction, some frustration. So then Narada Muni came and Vyasadeva asked him, please examine my fault. Tell me what I'm doing wrong. So this frustration or problems that we can experience, it is the mercy of the Lord. The Lord is teaching us something, but we need to realize. In this verse it is said, Eva Atma Kritam, that for sure it is because of me. Yeah, and then Narada Muni teaches Vyasadeva, and Vyasadeva immediately also becomes satisfied, and then he compiles Srimad Bhagavatam. In the teachings to Narada, to Vyasadeva, Narada Muni gives his own example. As he took, when he was young, he used to serve Bhaktivedantas, and later his mother passed away when he was very young. But he says that, I took it as the special mercy of the Lord, who always desires benediction for his devotees. And so thinking, I started for the north. So if we are perfect in this consciousness, then we can take everything as the mercy of the Lord and increase our knowledge of him, our devotion to him. But we need to be like convinced about this eva atma kritam, that this misery is because of me, and not just theoretically understand that when we are suffering or we are frustrated, that it's Krishna's mercy. Yes, no, not like this. It means that we are not realizing that this eva atma, this it's me for sure, is missing. Like, for example, I want to do this service for Krishna, like maybe decorate altar or do some management, whatever, but I want it to be like this, and it is not, when it is not like this, I am unhappy, and I can think, I want it for Krishna, it should be like this for Krishna. But we are experiencing frustration, not because it is not like this for Krishna, but because it is not like this like we want. So we need to be very introspective to see really where are we doing the, where are we committing the mistake, where is this aham mamati coming into our consciousness, and it always results in frustration. And this frustration is the mercy of the Lord, that he shows us that, look, here you are missing Krishna consciousness. So when we are experiencing some difficulties and the Lord is kindly offering us his helpful hand in the form of some miseries, then we should really try to understand what I did wrong. I will read the purport from the verses Tatitanu Kampam, because it's very part of the purport, it's very wonderful purport. The purpose of the entire creation of God is to rectify the living entity's tendency to enjoy without the Lord. And therefore, the particular punishment given for a sinful activity is specifically designed to curtail the mentality that produced the activity. For us, of course, we are devotees. We are not under stringent laws of karma. We are under the kind protection of the Lord. So the Lord is kindly giving us his mercy to us in the form of sufferings we experience. And the Lord is perfect. It means that, like, we can experience that some problems come to us. It is like if he would be shooting eye of an eagle from distance of 100 kilometers, and it hit perfectly in the target and right in the proper nanosecond, like designed from the beginning of creation, just for us, to help us rectify our lack of Krishna consciousness. So this is like the mercy of the Lord for the devotees. This unhappiness suffered by a sincere devotee is not technically a karmic reaction. Rather, the Lord's special mercy for inducing his devotee to completely let go of the material world and return home back to Godhead. So when we are experiencing this suffering and have some problems with understanding why, although philosophically we are trying to, yeah, it is mercy of the Lord, but why? So then we need to pray. We need to find answers. We need to really want to find answers. Why the Lord is giving this suffering to me? Why exactly this? Because it is like perfectly designed for us, but we don't understand it. Why? So we need to pray. The Lord can enlighten us from within or from outside by some special arrangement. He can kindly, like Narada Muni, explain to King Puranjana all the allegory, and then King Prachinabharhishad was hit by this understanding and was very happy. So we should pray, we should try to find answers in association of devotees. For others it's very easy to see, like, that we are holding to this electricity socket, and why are you suffering? Why am I suffering, Prabhu? You just have to leave this socket. Okay. And then we immediately can become happy. So we need to pray, we need to seek answers in association of devotees, and the Lord will show us how this suffering is actually a gift from Him. It's said also, it's a very nice verse in Srimad Bhagavatam confirming that point, that this is the Lord Himself who is inflicting suffering on His devotees. Yasyaham anugrihnami harishyatat dhanam shaneih. When Yasyaham, when I, the Lord speaks, when I want to, Yasyaham anu, when I want to show somebody special mercy, then harishyatat dhanam, harishyat, I took away his dhanam, his wealth, gradually. So the Lord is like inflicting some suffering on us, but it is not actually that He's taking something from us, but He's actually giving us the wonderful gift of Krishna consciousness. And then the later verses describe that the devotee thus firmly situated in this knowledge that everything is owned by Krishna. Nothing is mine to control. Then he immediately becomes happy and very staunchly engages himself in Krishna consciousness. So when we have this understanding, when we are like really fixed in this understanding that everything is just the mercy of the Lord, then any suffering that comes to us, we are taking this as a mercy, as a part of our service. It's not a problem for us that something has, like, I don't know, in terms of our service, something has gone wrong or something, our relationship are going wrong. It's for, then we are just taking it as another thing that we have to do for service of Krishna. And we are very happy doing it, whatever the calamities may come upon us. So this is later described in the purport. This is like already steady consciousness. A sincere devotee earnestly desires to go back to Lord's abode. Therefore, he willingly accepts the Lord's merciful punishment and continues offering his respects and obeisances to the Lord with his heart, words and body. It's like we cannot artificially do it. It has to be done. When we realize it, it has to be done with our heart. We're very happy in our heart that the Lord is kindly bestowing upon us some suffering. We'll take it as His mercy. And then with our vak, with our words, we will glorify Him. And with our body, we will serve Him. We will be happy serving Him. Such a bona fide servant of the Lord, considering all hardship a small price to pay for gaining the personal association of the Lord, certainly becomes a legitimate son of God, as indicated here by the words Dayabak. Just as one cannot approach the sun without becoming fire, one cannot approach the supreme pure Lord Krishna without undergoing a rigid purificatory process, which may appear like suffering, but which is in fact a curative treatment administered by the personal hand of the Lord. So then, when we realize this, this is the personal hand of the Lord, we can be very happy and we can restore our Krishna consciousness, we can become again situated in this understanding, Ishavasyam Idam Sarvam, in Krishna consciousness, and then we can engage further in devotional service. So in this way, for devotees, whatever the suffering may come upon us, be it disease, sickness, disease, old age, or death, we'll greet it happily, we will be grateful to the Lord, overjoyed by when we take this gift that He is giving us by the mercy of Krishna Prabhupada in form of wonderful Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Are there maybe some comments, questions, or corrections? Can I come with you? Yes.
Can you repeat the two weaknesses?
Yes. Should I read it, or?
Yeah, if you like. Yeah.
Yeah, it's at the end of 15th chapter of verse number 20. Maybe I'll read the full purport because I have just noted down the part of it. There's one full paragraph very nicely describing it. have the verbatim quotes. It's from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 15, Yoga of the Supreme Person. Text, last text, text 20. At the end of the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes as follows. While one is performing devotional service in the association of pure devotees in full Krishna consciousness, there are certain things which require to be vanquished altogether. The most important thing one has to surmount is weakness of the heart. The first fall down is caused by the desire to lord it over material nature. Thus, one gives up the transcendental loving service of the Supreme Lord. The second weakness of the heart is that as one increases the propensity to lord it over material nature, he becomes attached to matter and the possession of matter. The problems of material existence are due to these weaknesses of the heart. That's the quote.
You mentioned something about we try to enjoy things that we don't control. Or we, in order to enjoy things, we think we have to control them.
I mentioned that
you mentioned something to that.
Yes.
And I was just thinking, well, there's many things that we enjoy that we don't have to necessarily control. We may wish we control them, but we don't necessarily have to control. Like the sun, you know, the sun is very nice, very comfortable. It's wonderful. And then also now we're experiencing cool weather, so that's very nice. It's very comfortable and so on. So we don't necessarily have to control these things in order to enjoy them.
Mm. In a sense, they have to be in our proximity. And where there is this enjoying mentality, there is the sense of possession. That it is here, it is like mine, and because it is mine, I can enjoy it.
Yeah, I agree with that. Actually, I was thinking that the other day, I was thinking it was very comfortable on the roof of my house in the morning and so forth. But a madman would think that it'll always be like this. It'll always be this nice temperature and nice breeze and so forth. But actually we know it's not going to be like that. So the desire though is to have it remain like that. And that desire is a symptom of a desire to control. It's nice. Thank you very much. Very good class.
Krishna. Happy to serve.
Hare Krishna. I just missed something, so please excuse me. You mentioned about becoming friends with Krishna, so you have to know what level Krishna's on. I didn't hear.
Oh, I said that the goal of our Krishna consciousness is to become friends with Krishna, Srila Prabhupada writes in Nectar of Instruction. So being friends requires a common platform, and I used like a verbal analogy saying that we need to become on the same social platform, like in this world, in order to be friends with somebody, we have to like get along, be on the same level. So it works with Krishna on a spiritual level. We need to come to the spiritual level to have spiritual friendship with Krishna. This is like the basis of our interaction. So this is, and this level is coming to this understanding, like being really situated, this knowledge described here by Narada Muni is meant to situate us on this level.
Can you explain a little bit more then how on a social level you can be friends with Krishna?
How can we be friends with Krishna? This part? Yeah. So, like in the latter part of the story, the super soul comes to him and he explains to King Puranjana, as the wife, that I was like your friend, but you have long time forgotten me. So Krishna is in our heart. Everything is like Bahir Nrisimha, Hridaya Nrisimha, is outside and inside. But not being on the spiritual platform, we are not recognizing him. And not recognizing him, we fail to offer him our love and devotion. So this is... this coming to this understanding is not our, it's like we are partially using it in order to be able to offer our love to Krishna. And this offering of our love, of our loving attitude to Him, this is becoming friends. It starts from appreciation, and then the relationship can develop. But it's like the gradual process. And this first step is that we need to realize that the Lord is always in our heart, and we can always remember Him, and we can always offer Him our appreciation, our gratitude. We can see how He is kindly giving us everything, that everything is coming from Him, that even like the power of speech, the intelligence, our body, that it's all His gift, so that we can express our love to Him. So in this way we become friends with Him, and this is like an interaction. We are offering something to Him, and He's not just taking it and enjoying, but He is very busy reciprocating with us. This is the special feature of Krishna, that He is very sweet God. He is like always, this sweetness means that He is always desiring benediction to His devotees. So this is like a very intense reciprocation that we can enter into when we become more advanced, and when we offer constantly our love to Krishna and see how He reciprocates with us.
Thank you. It was a really nice class. And along the point of the Tate Anukampam verse about how the Lord will personally give us some suffering, it mentions in the purport that, yeah, when Krishna says Sarva Dharman Pratyaja, you know, that if we surrender, then He'll take away all of our sinful reactions. And so then why are we suffering? It's to rectify our desires to lord it over the material nature. And so I just wanted to comment that this is the process of Anartha Nivritti, that by maintaining our surrender, and it's described in the first canto, third chapter, 34th verse, Prabhupada says that by repentance and penance, then the external energy lifts away from us and then pushes us forward faster in spiritual life. So by this process of that, Krishna will give us some suffering, we'll repent, and in this way, like, we actually, the cover of Maya lifts, and we start to think of Krishna more, our sinful desires go away. So I just wanted to mention that. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, thank you. Nice comment. Yeah, but the crucial thing is we need to actually realize that not just like a Christian concept that sufferings brings us remembrance of the God and we continue suffer and remember. Not like this. We need to really see and appreciate the loving gift of the Lord and whatever He is arranging for us.
Prabhu, you mentioned that when the suffering comes, we should pray for enlightenment to understand why. Is it always some attachment that we want, that we need to understand what it is we're attached to?
As I said, not necessarily always, because when we are in Krishna consciousness, then the suffering will also come to us, like it came. We can see the exemplary life of Srila Prabhupada. It's not necessary that it has to be something. When we are experiencing the suffering, when we are connected to the experience, and we are like frustrated, like Vyasadeva, he was externally in a very happy situation in his ashram, but he was feeling some unhappiness. So we need to be introspective to see whether actually we are experiencing the bliss of Krishna consciousness, and if we are grateful and overjoyed, or if we are missing something. This little something, maybe not big, but then the Lord may kindly show us our little downfall. So it's like this. Besides, in this world there will be always suffering. Everybody will have to go through diseases, old age and death. But if you are Krishna conscious, then it will be just like the experience we go through in our service.
So I understand it. Do I understand correctly that it's something missing in our practice of Krishna consciousness, perhaps?
We have to see for ourselves if we are actually full in our Krishna consciousness. If not, then if we are experiencing some dissatisfaction and we are not sure about the identification of the cause, as it is certain in first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, then we should try to understand why. But if we are just seeing everything as mercy of the Lord and understanding why is it happening and seeing that, having full faith that this is His plan, His will, and I'm just happy serving, so then there is no need. Besides, we should always be humble.
I have a comment to that, if I may. When the gopis asked Krishna, why do you put your devotees through so much suffering? Krishna said, the only reason I put my devotees through suffering is to increase their longing and attachment to me.
Yes. Okay, so I guess that we can end now. Thank you very much for allowing me to speak before you. I feel very honored. Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada ki. Jai. Kantara Shrimad Bhagavatam ki. Jai.